I have been in a Christmas play many times, but Baby Jesus and Mary is something I've never played. So I'm angling for Baby Jesus because December will be here 3 years. So I've been trying to talk her into it the last 3 years. And
yeah, but you had to raise a garden for the manger, and now it's collapsed. You don't have the chance.
And it collapsed before I even laid in it, too.
I know.
So y'all work with Miss Natalie and try to talk her into it, because I think that's what needs to happen. But I do appreciate y'all not leaving. I do know of a situation. It didn't involve me or my dad, but it was another pastor was on a week's vacation. So he had somebody fill in Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And the crowd was drastically down. And then Wednesday, it was just him and his family. That is completely demoralizing. Because God's word needs to be shared even when the pastor is not behind the pulpit. So I do appreciate y'all being here, even though we didn't tell you. I still appreciate y'all not getting up and walking out when you did find out. I've been talking with Christy. I said, I feel like I've done this before. But I keep on going back to Mark 2, so that's where we're going to be. And if I've done it before, we're going to do it again, right? But I was telling Brother Josh, God's working with me on three sermons. And because the preachers will understand, you know when a sermon is more what audience that sermon's for. So we deal a lot with the kids, obviously. But the three sermons God's working with me is for adults, for the big church. So studying for three sermons at the same time is hard. Something I've not really never had to do before. Normally God's been one at a time for me. So keeping my notes straight, that's been a struggle. And out of those three sermons, they're not going to be preached tonight, so we'll deal with those as God says. But in Mark 2, I'm going to read 12 verses. So y'all just kind of bear with me. But it's more kind of talking about what kind of friend you are and that we are to one another. So in verse 1, it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the roof wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share your word, dear Lord. Just be with me. Just be my memory. Help me with that, dear Lord. And just be with the sermon, dear Lord, and just let it do what you need it to do. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, I have mentioned before, and y'all are aware of it, I do not like praying out loud. Something I don't like to do. I struggle with it, and then I get caught up on what I'm saying, and I just don't like it. So the first couple times that I started doing announcements here, I'll get done with announcements, and I'll turn around, and Brother David or Brother Josh will say, "You need to pray." Great, I'll pray. So the first time I thought, well, maybe that's just because I'm up here, they want me to pray. And then next time they'll get somebody else to do it. It didn't work that way, and I've been doing it ever since. And still don't like it. So y'all help me with that, just because praying is obviously something we need to do, but it's different when you're doing it out loud, because you don't want to get in the mindset of praying to sound intelligent to the point of you're not even praying to God. That makes sense? So that was not part of the sermon. That is just something because I just prayed and realized, you know, I sound like a bumbling idiot. So anyway, that's it. All right. But on these 12 verses, typically the focus is on the healing of the paralytic and the Pharisees' reaction to the words of Jesus. Because, you know, the Pharisees, they criticized Jesus just about every time he did something. But in verse 1 and 2, let me read those. Just those two verses. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house." So people started talking. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, though not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." The word spread that Jesus was there. Well, that's a good thing. We want people to know that, no, God's here. Y'all ever been part of a dead church? I have, and it's a chore, you know. I'm grateful to be part of a church that we know that God is here every time we meet. But they knew that, Christ was in town, and people started gathering. But that's how gossip is as well. We hear something, and it don't take much for us to tell somebody else, And it's kind of like that telephone game that we did as youngsters. By the time it gets 10, 11 down the line, it's not even the original story anymore. But with this, people showed up to see Jesus. And they showed up because they've heard of Jesus and the miracles that he's done. And they came expecting great things. Sometimes we get distracted by an accident that we passed going down the road. We just rubberneck it, and that backs up traffic. But in this case, they were coming expecting great things. We need to come to church with that same attitude. Oftentimes, we come to church because that's what we do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We start Master Clubs at 7 o'clock, as y'all know. So when I was over there just a while ago, we do a song, and then we got some pledges and things like that we do, and then we dismiss the classes. I don't know if they all have full bellies and were tired or what, but they were some tired kids. They had a rough day, and they were completely unmotivated. They were there because their parents or grandparents drove them there. That's the only reason why they were there. But that's sometimes how we are as adults, though. We know we're supposed to be in church, so let's just go to church. And then we start already planning lunch halfway through the sermon. We're just here because that's what we do sometimes. We need to come to church expecting God to show up and to show out. I mean, if we just come to church because that's what we do, we're not going to get nothing out of it. And often, and I'm guilty of that, is that I will pray that no souls will get saved and things like that, which is totally important. But my mindset goes of, what can somebody get out of the service? Besides, instead of, what can I get out of the service? If we're at church and we're breathing, God has a purpose for us. There is nothing that we can do that God will not use us as a Christian. Now, when Brother Dorsey was talking, I was reminded of my dad. When, of course, everything reminds me of my dad, to be honest with you. But when in 21, Dad was in the hospital in ICU with COVID, and before we put him on the ventilator, we prayed and talked and stuff like that. And he said, "Nope, Lord willing, I'll be coming home." And so that was great. But Dad had a peace about it, you know. He knew he was coming home. So he was like, okay, he was just telling me that. Dad ended up passing away. But I think he knew that either way, it's going to be all right. And granted, it was hard for me and my family, and still is. He knew, and he was okay with that. And we need to have that type of peace and that type of attitude that whatever we go through, it's going to be okay. We often do not know the outcome of things. We don't always know how things are going to work out. And majority of times, we don't always know until years down the road. But Brother Josh, I said it many, many times, that there's nothing that we will encounter that has not passed through the hands of God first. And nothing catches God by surprise. And I'm grateful for Brother Josh, and I'm grateful to count him as a friend. And we're going to get to the friends here in a little bit. But they came to see what Jesus was going to do next. They were expecting something great to happen. They did not come to see what everybody was wearing. I know I always look pretty, but I also know that y'all don't come to see what I'm wearing. I get that. And nobody really pays attention to what other person is wearing. I wore a tie Sunday. Does anybody know what was on my tie? Pigs, yeah. But you know, majority just don't remember of what we even wear from a few days away, because it don't matter. The main thing is that we come expecting God to do something. We have a great choir. You can tell we're not just singing words on a page. You know, there is emotion, there's movement, there's the Spirit of God behind those words. And the majority of the time, the choir is full. And so when I get done with announcements, I come down. That probably makes the choir a whole lot better. But on a side note of that, majority of the time, that choir is full of young people. And I'm grateful for that. But we don't come to see what other people are wearing. We don't come to hear the choir, even though that's a great bonus. We're here to hear about God. That's why we were here. And that was the drawing power. The color of the carpet don't matter, or the color of the walls. If I asked y'all what color the carpet was over in Children's Church, how many of y'all would know that? You know? Miss Eva would. And still green? It's still green. But you know, that's not the drawing power of what everything looked like. We got a great building. But even if we met in a tent, God would still show up. And so that's the drawing power. And it should always be about Jesus. It is never about us. Now, this same story that I read, these 12 verses, they are covered in Matthew, here in Mark, and in Luke. But out of those five friends, know, the four that carry the man on the palsy, and then counting the palsy man, those three Gospels never mention the name of those five individuals. That's not important. It's all about Jesus. And that should be what draws us to church, and that should be our attitude, and that should be our attitude to others, is to share Jesus. And people should see Jesus in our life, and it should draw people to us because they see Jesus. Now, we all know that there's some people that will run away as soon as they know that you're a Christian because they don't want to hear about this God thing. But that's more of the reason why they need to hear about this God thing, because it's all about Jesus. And y'all know this old saying is that sometimes our life is the only Bible people will read. So really, we know the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But really, we should be the fifth Gospel. They should see Christ in us in everything we do. And the hard part about that is how we react to things. And I've told y'all before, and I'll hear it again, I work from home for a reason, because people are not as good as the driver as I am. And it drives me crazy. And because of that, we have a gateway tag on front of our vehicle, and I'm convinced my wife put that on there on purpose to make me realize that, you know, I'm representing the church, and I don't need to be acting like no weirdo behind the wheel.
Amen.
But, you know, that's how people will work in our lives, is our attitude. And if we have a bad attitude, but then we confess to be a Christian, that can really do some damage. But how can we as a Christian stay with a good attitude? Because I get it, in this day and age, it's not easy to have a good attitude. But we always need to have a good attitude when it comes to Christ. Even if we're upset about something, we need to always have a joy in our heart and our voice. Now, if we see a tree, it looks perfectly fine. But then we're caught off by surprise or caught off guard when we see that same tree laying over one day. The reason why is because it was rotten on the inside. But on the outside, it looked fine. Unconfessed sin has that exact same effect on our lives. And if you let that just build up and build up and build up, we're going to start rotting and start going to lose our joy and lose whatever God has given us, because all of us are here by the grace of God. There is nothing that we can do without God. And one thing I'm realizing, and y'all realize it as well, there is a world full of fake Christians. That there are people who are one way at church, and they're a different way out in the world. And they play to the audience, basically. That is going to send so many people to hell, because they know they go to church, they know they confess to be a Christian, but then they, you know, cuss and drink and do whatever out in the world. That's damaging souls for eternity. And to be transparent with you, I've struggled with a certain sin, I don't know, for a majority of my life. I ask God to help me with it and get over it and know, take away from me. But it's, you know, a couple days later, it's not, there I'm doing it again. And I ask God, no, please take it away. And I don't know. I still struggle with it. And that's just something we do. But we need to be transparent about that and just know that, you know, everybody struggles. Everybody has sin in their life. And there's something that these young people nowadays need to see and hear is transparency. They need to know that real people that they look up to struggle and have their own battles. Because when they get grown, get out of the house, get adults or whatever, they say, well, Brother Josh has everything together. But life is hard. How's he held it together? Well, we don't know what Brother Josh and Miss Terry struggle with, you know? Same thing with my life. We need to be real with our young people and let them know that just because we are Christians, just because we believe in God, life is hard. It's not easy being a Christian. It's easier to not believe in God because then you just fit in. But we're not made to fit in. God didn't create us to fit in. He made us to be different. Now let's talk about these four friends. We're really going to talk the five friends. Verse 3 and 4, it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They knew that their friend needed healing. They knew their friend needed Jesus. Our friends need Jesus. And are we sharing Jesus by how we live? But if you notice, in verse 3, they carried him. But in verse 4, they got there and the room was full. I am an impatient person, and I know better to pray for patience. So we have about a 35-minute or so drive home. So we always just pick up something on the way home. We will go to one drive-through, and there's more than three or four cars in that line. I'm going to another drive-through. I'm not sitting there. And if I really want it and there's a long drive-through, I'll just go inside. It don't make no difference. It's still just going to have to wait. They still wait on the same amount of people. I'm completely impatient. I will go to a different restaurant if it is too full. But that's how we are in society as well. Everything is fast. No, we microwave so much of our food. And then the air fryer, which is a great thing. We have two of them. Don't know how to use neither one of them. Really, we make cheese toast out of one of them, but the other one just collects dust. But the air fryer makes things a whole lot quicker. Sorry, that's not part of my notes. I don't know where that came from. But the air fryer makes things a whole lot quicker than the regular stove. We're just trying to do anything we can to just get things faster. And if you ever record, do y'all record shows anymore? Can you do that? We live stream everything. Hulu stuff. But when commercial comes on, we fast forward through the commercial to get to the show. We have that capability now, but why? Because we're impatient. We don't want to hear the commercial. We just get to the show. Does everything we do, we're hurry, hurry, hurry. But gratefully, these four friends didn't say, oh, it's full. We'll come back another day. Luckily, they found a way to get their friend to Jesus. We need to make sure that we're not sharing Jesus with others because there's too many distractions going on. We may be walking down the aisle at the grocery store or whatever, and we may feel like we need to share Jesus with somebody or give them a little Jesus or whatever we need to do, but there's too many people around, so we'll say, I'll just meet up with them on the next aisle. Well, what if they're going the opposite direction? You lost your chance, and now they're going to die and go to hell. I mean, we need to be bold in our faith and be comfortable in those areas of uncomfortable. There's no promise of tomorrow. I am in no hurry to go to heaven, to be honest with you. I got a lot of things I'm looking forward to. Hopefully one day I'll have grandkids. I'm looking forward to things like that. There's things in my life I want to see. But if it's my time to go, I'm okay with that, though. At one point in my life, I was going to do what I can to speed that process up. I'm grateful that God led me through that. And I had some good friends that helped me with that. But these four friends, they weren't just ordinary friends. They had a radical faith. They knew they needed to get their friend to Jesus and was not going to just give up. So they didn't try to just push their way through. They decided to rip the roof off this house. There are stairs that obviously had to be on the outside of the house to get up to the roof. If y'all ever carried anything super heavy and then up steps, it's not easy. And then if you're coming with somebody behind you because you're at an angle, no, one person got to hold it up while the other person got to hold it low. That way it stays level because no, this guy was on the bed. You don't want him rolling off. He's got more problems than when he showed up with. Sorry, that wasn't my notes either. But these guys had radical faith, and I'm grateful for that, and I know he's grateful for it, and I have friends that will be with me no matter what I go through. But they climbed these stairs, and they was carrying a person. Now, in one of the commentaries I read, this was said to be Peter's house. If it is, I don't know. But it was just said to be Peter's house because his was the home base when the Jesus and the disciples were in Capernaum. So that's the reason why they just said this was Peter's house. That took a lot of guts because if you know anything about Peter, he's got a little bit of a temper. And now you're up there ripping his roof off. But they did it anyway. But in verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The first thing Jesus did is forgave him of his sins. So that's all that matters. Yes, we like to be in good physical health. Majority of us aren't. But our spiritual health is what is most important. And Jesus met that need right off the bat. But that kind of made the Pharisees start talking and questioning, you know, who does he think he is? Now, one thing I thought was interesting in verse 5, Jesus acknowledged the crippled man. He didn't say anything to the four friends. He acknowledged the one that needed him the most. So his friends brought him there for physical healing. But he got something so much better. Because in reality, physical health is only good while you're alive, right? Once you're gone, you don't need your physical health. Your spiritual health is what really kicks in. And that's what he needed most. And forgiveness of sins is the greatest miracle that Christ ever performed. And it's the greatest need that man will ever need. And getting their friend to Jesus was more than just a good deed. I'll go there next. It was a love for a sick friend. It was a faith in the miracles that Jesus had performed. But not only was their friend dying in his disease, he was dying in his sins. And we know that because of verse 5. Because if he was a believer, Jesus didn't need to forgive him of his sins. That makes sense? So the friends must have knew that. And the friends must have been believers because they had enough faith to do whatever they had to do to get him there. Now, verse 6 through 11, and I won't read all of those verses again, but this is when the Pharisees started murmuring. They started wondering, who's he think he is that he can forgive sins, because only God can do that. But what is important in verse 6, at the end of it says, they were reasoning in their hearts. They didn't speak all these questions out loud. They were thinking this to themselves. But yet Jesus acknowledged what they were thinking. That had to convince them immediately that, hey, this really is the Son of God. Because I can tell you, I do not want anybody to read my thoughts. I'm sure y'all don't either. But Christ immediately knew what they were thinking and called them out on it and acknowledged it. But also, let that comfort you when you're praying. I don't know about y'all. I have scroll moments. Y'all have experienced that already tonight. But it happens while I'm praying too. That I'll hear something and I start wondering about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta go back to praying. And me and Christy will pray at night. And then when there's things that's really bothering me, I'll pray to myself while we're laying there. Have y'all ever been praying at night in bed and fall asleep while you're praying? That happens. But Christ still knows our thoughts, what our needs are, our desires. Our praying is just acknowledging that we need Christ. It's something that we talked about up in Sunday school with the teenagers, and I mentioned it here as well, is that we have the routine, the habit, or whatever, of closing our eyes when we pray, which is fine. I get that completely. But that is not a requirement of our prayers making it to heaven. There's been things that have been on my mind that I need to pray about, and it comes across while I'm driving. Please don't close your eyes and pray while you're driving. So the portal to our prayers getting received by God is not triggered by our eyes being closed, if that makes sense. No, it's our condition of our heart. And so even though we may be laying in bed and we're praying and we fall asleep mid-prayer, Christ still knows our needs. It's just our act of obedience, our act of faith, and our act of trust in praying. In verse 12, I'm almost done. In verse 12, it says, "And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion." This room was full of people that he had to be lowered down through a roof. But after Christ healed him spiritually and physically, he walked out that same door that he wasn't able to get into earlier because of the crowd. I don't know what the friends were really expecting. I think they were expecting that Christ to do something miracle. They've heard about his miracles. Otherwise, they never would have brought him in the first place. But I don't know what their expectations were. And I really don't know what the paralyzed man was thinking. But I wonder if they really thought that he would just walk out that door. That room was full. He couldn't get in that door in the first place, but he walked out of it. The neat thing, the interesting thing, is that when Christ is around, nobody stayed dead. The funeral was over. Nobody stayed sick. And at the end of verse 12, they talk about they went out and glorified God. We know that the Bible tells that there's so much that Christ did in 3.5 years that the world can't contain it. I'm trying to figure out the right way to word it. I don't think, because we're only over here on Sunday morning. We're over there on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And Maybe Brother Joshua said it when we were watching the live stream later, and I agree with it completely, that the parables that Christ, that is talked about in the Bible, that Christ performed, really happened. That they're not, and maybe wasn't even Brother Josh I heard it from, that they're not stories that God had to make up to convince his point. Because Christ don't have to make up nothing. So I believe that so much has happened because the Bible tells us that the world can't even contain all the miracles that Christ did. That those are true stories that he had a hand in. So even though we call them parables, and people, at least in my mind at one point, would go to, well, these are just examples or a story Christ is using to make get his point across. These are real events and real occurrences that happen. Because Christ don't have to make up nothing. But as far as friends go, do you have friends that would be willing to rip up a roof to get you to Jesus? If not, we need new friends. Because we all need to get close to Jesus no matter what we do. But also, are you a friend that would rip up a roof to get your friend to Jesus? Our friends have influence, good or bad, and we are influenced to our friends. What kind of influence are you? And are you consistent in that influence? Now, we talked about earlier about there being fake Christians and being transparent. We are not perfect. We are sinful beings, and we are going to do things wrong. But are we consistent enough in our faith, in our walk with Christ, that our friends can understand that we are human? Or do they see the sinful side of us all the time and the lack of faith? But these friends knew that Jesus was the only option. He wasn't just one of the options. And I wrote this down, so I'm just going to read it. He's the only option to mend the broken heart. He's the only option to restore the marriage. He's the only option during the hard times. And he's the only option to get to heaven. But instead of radical faith, most Christians have lazy faith. And I know that there's some sickness. I know people are traveling. I know things take place. But why is Sunday morning our largest crowd? And then it gets lower on Sunday night, and even that much less on Wednesday night. Why is that? And I know work schedules happen. I get that. But I mean that more towards those that are just not here because they're just not here. So in church, we come to church, you know, to get fed, you know, spiritually fed. So three times a week, we're at church to get spiritually fed. We eat three meals a day. That's 21 meals. What if you only ate a third of those? How physical healthy, how healthy would you be physically? You may lose a lot of weight, but you also lose a lot of strength. Our spiritual health is the same way. Now, I do believe completely that you can worship God anywhere, because God's the creator of it all. But I do think there's something to be said about assembling together. I draw a lot of strength being here. And I'm grateful for the friends I have. I haven't always, a lot of times, it's been Christy and I. I'm grateful that Christy now has people that she can rely on. And I have a core group of guys that I can rely on. That is something that we haven't always have. It is important that you have a core group of people you can rely on. But it's important. important that they believe in Christ as well. And I say that because, you know, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. No, we draw off of one another. Make sure you have the right kind of friends. Just because you've known each other for 100 years doesn't mean you need to be friends with them. That makes sense? But make sure you're sharing Christ with them. That is so important. We do a lot of events and we do a lot of things, but at the core of everything we do is the sharing of the gospel. And we can have hamburgers, we can have hot dogs, and we have all kinds of blow-up things, and we can have games, but if we never tell the crowd about Jesus, we just wasted time, energy, and money. It's all about Jesus, and we need to keep that focus. And I'm grateful that we do that. But Jesus doesn't just belong on your to-do list. I need to read my Bible. I need to go to church. I need to pray. It should be something that you want to do. Granted, we need to do that, but when it becomes a chore, it's no longer faith. You know, nobody likes taking out the garbage, but we have to do it. If we approach reading our Bible the same way, we're not going to get nothing out of it. We're looking forward to hurry up and getting done. We're going to move on to the next thing. God is so good to us. And we watched the live stream, and every Sunday night, there in fellowship, we sing Amazing Grace. But we forget how important those words are and how amazing God's grace really is. And they just become words that we sing. And I mentioned it Sunday morning, and I'll do it again because it's important to me. On September the 14th of 2015, I had a stroke. I was completely paralyzed on my right side. Couldn't really walk, couldn't tie my shoe. Christy had to do everything for me. God's grace, God has been so good to me. To the point where you really don't even know I ever had one. My speech is mostly affected, but it just comes across where I'm trying to think of trying to sound smart, when really I'm just trying to get my brain to catch up with my mouth, which is a struggle. But that's how good God is. God will get us through anything that we encounter. And as a Christian, though, if He doesn't get us through it, He takes us home. God's grace sees us through this earth and gets us to our heavenly home. And I'm grateful for God's grace. But your friendship should be based on Jesus. Your relationships should be based on Jesus. And your work life should be based on Jesus. Because most of us spend more time with people we work with than we do with our own family. Do they see Jesus? And it's okay to mess up. And that is one thing I tell them teenagers all the time. They're teenagers. They're going to mess up. That just happens. We do it as adults. But we're here for them. And as a church, we'll be here for them. And no matter what their mess up is, I'm here for them. And if you're not, I'll be praying for you because you're not right. We should always show love. We should always show God's grace, because He's been good to us so much better than we've been to Him. And He never gave up on us. So, my last comment, and I'll be done, is that I'm so grateful that neither my sin nor my stupidity has kept God from loving me. Right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing me to share your word, dear Lord God. Just be with this church, dear Lord. Just continue to keep blessing us, dear Lord. And we know you are here because we can feel your presence and we see what you're doing, dear Lord. I just ask that you would just be with the members, that they will grow closer to you, that they will see the importance of being at church, and that they will just grow in their faith. Be with us, Lord, and bring us back safely on Sunday. I ask you to say in your name. Amen.